We are sitting on, I don't know if we call it anymore, Erev Rosh Chodesh Av. Starting off 9 days. And people spend time chazering over the halachas of the 9 days, whether it's things like showering, washing, clothing, eating meat, drinking wine. We have kol minei avelus, things that we're doing to help us remember, remind ourselves of this avelus and try to pull ourselves into it a little bit more. It's very interesting if you ever have a chance to look into Shulchan Aruch, and you'll see in the simonim that are brought, specifically a simon on things that we do, lezecher, the fact that there is a churban on a daily basis. Not only in the 9 days, not only in the 3 weeks, not only on Tisha B'Av, but on a daily basis, there are things that we do, or things that we don't do. What is the pshat? Why do we need these things? And I think we'll ask a little bit of a heavier question. If we really need all of these things to try to get us to a point where we're crying over a Beis HaMikdash that was destroyed thousands of years ago, are they working? And if they are not working, why? Bochram asks all the time, how are we supposed to feel the loss of something that we actually never had? If a guy has a car, and he's used to driving everywhere, and his car goes in for repairs for 3-4 days, he feels the loss of his car. And now he has to take the bus, and he has to walk, and he has to take a train, and he understands well what it means that he hasn't got a car. He's missing a car. He had a car. He doesn't have a car now. And if he had a car that he loved, and now it's gone, well, he feels the loss of the car. And he's going to remember that car. How in the world are we supposed to feel by having 9 days of not eating meat, the loss of a churban? How are we supposed to feel by not drinking wine, by not showering, by not wearing clean clothing, by not washing, by not building, by not doing many things, the loss of a Beis HaMikdash of thousands of years ago? So I'm going to begin to answer this question with a mashal. Imagine, if you will, a fellow young guy gets married, begins working, and somehow Benes, obviously he's an ace, he makes a fortune of money. And as the weeks and months go on, he keeps making money and making money. Baruch Hashem, he's doing wonderfully. And as he gets wealthier and wealthier, he starts to understand what his place is in Klal Yisrael. And he supports Maistis and Torah. He gives chesed, gives tzedakah, all over the place. Beautiful. But one thing he does with his money, something special that he does on a regular basis, he, Baruch Hashem, has a family, he has children, he makes it his business to make sure that those children are educated in the best possible way that they could be in every area. He takes every single child that he has, and he figures out each kid according to his own keiches, what's going to be best for him. And we all know, every kid is different. We're all different. There's no way in the world that anyone can expect the same thing from every single one of us. So too with the children. There are some kids that are gifted in sports. There are some kids that are gifted in learning. There are some kids that are musically talented. There are some kids that love math. And others, like most of us, we don't. And this father went and took every single kid and every single talent that he had, and he hired the best possible teacher that he could find for every single thing. So this kid really was going to be good at clarinet, and he brought the best teacher. This one loved the guitar. Okay, we're going to teach you guitar. This one, Bekias was his thing, hired the best possible Rebbe that he could sit and learn Bekias with him and bring out that koyach. He was making siyumim on Shas, and he was knowing it. Another one, Pilpul, each one in their own area. The girls, the boys, each one, they were able to constantly grow. And the children, Baruch Hashem, grew up. And when they started reaching the tekufa of marriage, they found decent shidduchim, nice shidduchim. They got married. And miyad afterwards, something happened. The father lost all his money. Everything gone. One or two deals went sour. Everything was sunk into those deals. Everything gone. It didn't take more than a couple of months. The house is sold off. The cars are gone. Got to pay off the creditors. They move into a small rental somewhere. And this is it. Baruch Hashem. He got out with himself. He's got his shirt on his back. That's it. He's done. Okay. His children are all taking care of themselves. They're okay. They're raising their own families. They're doing well. But certainly not like their father was. And they're unfortunately not able to give to their children the same things that their father gave. They can't send their children to the best camps in the world. They cannot afford private tutors for everything. They can't afford music instructors. They can't afford sports instructors. They can't afford the best rebbeim to learn with them. They can't. They simply cannot afford it. So they send them to schools. They do the very best that they can. They build up their children in the best possible way that they can, just like all of us, trying to focus on all the kaychas and doing the best that you can. And the children are turning out wonderful. But not like their parents. Every year, by the tekufa, when it comes around the same time of year of when the father or the grandfather lost all his money and experienced that huge yerida in his finances, he gets very sad. And he starts to reminisce over the days when he had money and he was able to give tzedakah and he was able to build Torah and he was able to have good things, nice things in his life. And he reminisces and he gets very sad. Sadness envelops him. And the parents, his children, they feel it a bit as well. But the grandchildren, they don't feel anything. And they notice that every single year, at the same tekufa, Zaidi gets very sad. So they turn to their parents and they say, you know, why is it that Zaidi gets so sad? What do you mean? Zaidi had a lot. Now Zaidi hasn't got a lot. He lost it all. It's gone. It's finished. It's over. Really? So how come you, the parents, are also sad? Well, we're sad. You know why? Because we know what our father gave us. And based on what he gave us, we were able to see how with that money, you were able to take a person and build them into a different human being. A different type of person. Educated, well-rounded, taking all the kliches and bringing it out. But we can't give that to our children. But the children, they don't feel it. Why? They don't know any different. They're happy. They go to school like everybody else. They wear the same clothing as everybody else. They have the same day camp as everybody else. They have the same things. They're fine. They don't know any different. They never experienced. But what did they never experience? The concept of having the very best brought out. And they will never feel sad that they cannot provide that to their children. They don't know what that means. One of the things that was in the Beis HaMikdash, Kol Zman we had a Beis HaMikdash in the earlier years, we had something called Nevuah. There was a Navi. Now, if you learn Navi, you might arrive at a mistaken understanding of what Navi is, or what a Navi was. You might think that a Navi was there just to tell the future, predict sad things are going to happen. But a Navi was way more. A Navi was a daily guide. If a person had a tzara in his life, or if he just wanted to know, what does Hashem want from me today? He would go to the Navi, and the Navi would say, your tafkid, your tachlis, is to do this. Yours is to do that. What greater simcha could there be for a person than to know what he's supposed to do today? And go to sleep at night knowing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me back my neshama in the morning, and I did with it what I was instructed to do. That's wonderful. I go to sleep feeling happy. If I ask people, and we do this sometimes, what makes you happy? So think about it. What makes us happy? Some people will say money, or they'll give me a different version of things. But then they realize that deep down, that's not what really makes us happy. Although I have heard that those who say money can't buy happiness don't know where to shop. But I think ultimately the truth lies, money doesn't bring that. And if you ask most people, if they think about it deep enough, they'll tell you, real simcha comes from fulfillment. And real fulfillment comes from knowing what I had to do and doing it. To do something that I didn't have to do doesn't bring fulfillment. To not do that which I did have to do doesn't bring fulfillment. To do that which I had to do and I did it well and I'm done, I'm fulfilled, I feel good. That is a true simcha. That simcha we do not have. Why? We don't have a Navi. The Gemara tells us all the suffering that we have till today, over all the thousands of years, is all due to the fact we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So every single step of our lives, we're recognizing that this is occurring because there is no Beis HaMikdash today. What change did we make to rectify that situation? That simcha is lacking. The avelus that we are trying to ingrain and remember is not just the avelus of a building that's gone. It's the avelus of who we could be. If there would be a Navi, the Navi would tell us what we could become. And we would be anoshim shleimim. We would be whole people. We would fulfill our tafkid as a yid in the best possible way. That would bring Klal Yisrael to a shleimus. That would bring the people as a whole to a nation of shleimus in a way that we can't possibly achieve without that guidance. And this is all lacking when there is no Navi and there is no Beis HaMikdash. There is no guidance. So the avelus is not just an avelus on a building. It's an avelus on what we could have been. Just like those parents were sad on what they could have done for their children had they had the money. They don't have the money, so they can't do it. And those children, if they would understand that their parents are something different because of the money that they did have, they would think to themselves, wow, could you imagine if we only had that, how much different we could be, how much better we could be. But we don't have that. The Torah tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, I can't take it with Klal Yisrael. They want meat, and they want this, and I don't know what to do. So what does Hashem tell them? Hashem tells Moshe, go bring me 70 men. I'm going to give you a Nevi'im. What are they going to do? Provide food? Is that what's going to happen? Klal Yisrael's coming and they want food. They want meat. And Moshe says, I don't know what to do. And Hashem says, I'm going to give you Nevi'im. How's that going to help? The answer is that when you have a Navi, the Navi guides the person. And when the Navi guides the person, he doesn't need all those other things. He has fulfillment inside. He has the simcha inside. He's fine. He's not looking for all the extra trappings to try to make up for the lack of fulfillment that he has. He's not running around the world trying to acquire more things to placate himself and pretend that he actually has some happiness. Because he has the truth in front of him. That's something that we don't have without a Navi. no Navi, it's very hard to achieve that. Unfortunately, when someone has a tzara, one of the things that they do is they go running to a gadol. Some people go to a gadol for a bracha. Others go for an etza. What should I change? What should I fix? I know a choshev yid, Nebuch lost a child many years ago. And afterwards, the yid went to the stipler. And he asked the stipler, "What should I do? Why did this happen?" That was his question. Why did this happen? And the stipler was hard of hearing, so he used to scream. And he screamed out, "The stipler, what, you think I'm a Navi? I should tell you why it happened. I don't know why it happened." The Gemara says something happens to you. Fashvish b'masov. Figure it out. Each person knows inside himself, be'erach, what he's got to fix. And he tries to do the best that he can. So this is one area of avelus that we can start to focus on. All the things that we're doing are there to act as reminders that there's something major missing in our lives. One of the things brought down in Shulchan Aruch is when a person sets up a nice table, they shouldn't set up the table fully. There should be something missing as a zecher l'churban. Every time you set your table nicely, you shouldn't set it with all the nice silver. Shouldn't, not everything. Leave off epis something. Zecher l'churban. Zecher l'churban? How is that going to help? Because when I leave that off, I remember, where am I? Am I a shalem? Am I getting to where I need to get to? Do I have a Navi? I don't have it. And why is that? Because I don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And why is that? Because we have not taken the steps that we have to rectify that situation, which we'll come to soon. There is another area. This is a little deeper. We know that the Beis HaMikdash that we had was keneged, built opposite a Beis HaMikdash that was up in Shemayim. One there, one here. One there, one here. What happened down here was mirrored in Shemayim. The Nefesh HaChaim brings a Zayar. He says that when the Rishayim brought Tumah into the Beis HaMikdash, it caused epis some sort of chalishus in Koiches Lamala, which allowed for the Churban to take place, Lamata. So that teaches us that there is a direct correlation between things that happen here and things that happen upstairs. But the Zohar says a step further. It says like this: a person is created, and the Beis HaMikdash is created, mirroring each other. That means there are different parts of the body that mirror different areas of the Beis HaMikdash, whether it be the Azora or a Mizbeach, Teiris, whatever it is. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim, says the Nefesh HaChaim, he brings there, he says, the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the lave of the person, is the heart of the person. And he says, could you imagine then, a guy, the biggest Rasha, thinks something improper in his mind or in his heart. It doesn't cause anything upstairs. He does something in the Beis HaMikdash that causes something upstairs. But he goes and he does his own little Aveira, nothing upstairs. A Yid does a tiny little Aveira, but because he's a mirror of a Beis HaMikdash, and because his heart is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he's Machnes, he puts something into his heart that isn't kosher, that mirrors itself up to the Kodesh HaKadoshim Lamala, and it brings a Chalishus no different than when the Rishonim brought Tumah into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. a person's heart is a Kodesh HaKadoshim of a Mikdosh. If you want to understand how this connects to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh, we know that one of the major reasons the Beis HaMikdosh was taken from us was Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam. Hatred. Baseless hatred. Where does that come from? It's very interesting. There's a tzivui in the Torah, a mitzvah saseh. Kodesh Baruch Hu commands us, v'halachta bidrochav. We should go in Hashem's ways. And we know. What does it mean, v'halachta bidrochav? Mahu rachum? Afato rachum. Just like Kodesh Baruch Hu is a rachum. Yeah, we should also be a rachum. We should be merciful. Mahu chanun? Afato chanun. Just like Hashem is a chanun. We should also be a chanun. We should also act in a similar way. These are midos that are in the heart. And this says, really you see it all over. This is one of the foundations of Klal Yisrael. Chesed. Mahu chanun, afato chanun. Mahu rachum, afato rachum. It's a straight up mitzvah saseh to emulate the ways of Hashem. To learn what it is to be a rachum. What it is to be a chanun. Somebody who is selfish, somebody who thinks of themselves only, cannot be a rachum. There's no room for someone else in their heart. Shimon Shkop writes that a Kodesh Baruch Hu does one thing all day. He's makdish atzmei lezulas. He just gives and gives and gives. And he gives and he gives. He says that's Kedusha, is to just give. If we're thinking about ourselves selfishly, there's no room for someone else. It's very difficult to be a real rachum when all we're thinking about is ourselves. A real chanun, maybe we do nice chesed because we like it, we have an ulterior motive, but real chesed, real rachum, real chanun has to come selflessly. We're not thinking about ourselves. And the more we think about ourselves, the more we have a reason to not like Enem. He's encroaching on my territory. He's encroaching in my space. He cut in front of me. Whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's religious. I don't want anybody else around. Sinas Chinam. If Adrabah, we wanted to help the other, we would go out of our way to try and do things that would maybe be difficult for ourselves to do. But we do them anyways. Oh, that's Mahu Rachum. It's Mahu Chanun. Afato Rachum. Afato Chanun. How does that have Shaychis to Abeis HaMikdash? Very simple. If the lave of the person is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and all we're doing with the lave is thinking about ourselves, there's no room for a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the heart. And if there's no room in the lave for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's ki'ilu a person took the Oren out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then we're going to ask ourselves, what are we doing to bring the Beis HaMikdash closer again? Are we bringing a Kodesh Baruch Hu back into the hearts? Mahu Rachum. Afatarachum. Or are we allowing the sinah to continue stirring within those hearts? And if the heart is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then it mirrors the Kodesh HaKadoshim Lamala, and it continuously gives koyach. It continuously strengthens the negative tzad to not allow the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. This idea is something that's really, it applies in all of our lives, in all areas. So much so, there's a Chavis Halvavais who says, this world was created in a way that a man cannot possibly go through it alone. You can't do it. Hashem made the world in a way that you have to end up relying on other people. There's no brera. You're chayiv to rely on others. There's no choice. And he says, he brings a beautiful example. He says, imagine you have a shayara, right? A caravan of people traveling. Imagine, I don't know what they had in those days. Right? Each guy's got his 2 or 3 camels. They're traveling along. But it was dangerous to travel at nighttime. Hayyos is dangerous to travel at night. They would work out that they stopped by various inns. They stopped by various places. But they tried to travel together because there was safety in numbers. Now, imagine. Each guy's got a camel loaded with his goods. And every night they pull up to another inn. And they have to unload. If you had to unload your own camel, it would take you hours. Hours unloading this camel into the inn, into your room, locking it up safely. In the morning, take it all down, reload the camel, do everything. Zog de chayvus al vavos. If 10 people are traveling together, imagine what's going to happen if 10 people will unload one camel. They'll be done in 5 minutes. The same 10 people will now unload number 2. The same 10 will now unload number 3. Our whole lives become so much easier. Our entire being becomes one of giving. We give. We help the other one. That's how the world was created to work. But when all we think about is taking, there's no room in the heart for the mahu rachum. There's no room for Kodesh Baruch Hu to come in. It's the exact opposite of what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted. There's a question that we dealt with over the years. We all know that it says, Komishim is Abel on the Churban, anybody who has proper Avelus and cries, Zoyche V'roya B'simchasai. He'll be Zoyche. He'll merit to see the simcha in it. She'ena misabel, ena zeicher. Okay, the ena misabel we understand. But from the beginning of time till now, was there never a person who was misabel karoli? Because there's no Beis Hamikdash. So what was he zeicher v'roya? What did he see? Where was that raya? Where was that simcha? He was zeicha v'raya b'simcha zay. Where? Where'd that happen? So api the nefesh achayim, we have a very good answer here. You see, every single person has inside his heart a mikdash ma'at. Once the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, build it in your heart. And we understand now why. Because our hearts are mirrored to the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Beis Hamikdash upstairs. Build it in. Put the Orin inside. Put the Torah inside. Put the Chesed inside. Put the Bein Adam LeChaveira inside. Build that Mikdash inside. That will bring the Beis Hamikdash closer. Because we're giving more koyach to the side, to the tzad upstairs, that pushes the kedusha, that pushes that we should have a schus for a Beis Hamikdash to be rebuilt. That in itself brings a person a tremendous simcha. But there's another level. Imagine if a person really cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Hashem, I want to become an Ish Shalem. You know what? It's daka true. We haven't got a Navi today. It's true. But if a person really wants, he really wants to work, and he really wants to become an Ish Shalem, Kodesh Baruch Hu will send him along the way, his damniyot, he'll send him opportunities to be able to work on himself, to make the changes that he has to. But he has to really want it. And the only way he's going to really want it is to first recognize that he's missing it. And that's only going to come with avelus. But when he recognizes, he cries, he has an avelus of Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm so sad. I'm missing this opportunity to become Yisholem. Please send me something. Send me a Rebbe. Send me someone who will teach me. Help me over here. And it comes from a place of deep pain. Hashem sends it. And what does he do with that? He builds inside himself a mikdash. And he has a simcha. What's the simcha? Fulfillment. He knows that at the end of the day, I, as a yid, I did my job. I knew what I was supposed to do. I had a tafkid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to me, and I did it. And that tafkid, fulfilling that tafkid, brings a person a tremendous simcha. So call Misha Misabel. If he taka was Misabel, if he was taka very sad, if he was taka broken up, then he'll end up having a tzad where, yeah, there will be more. There will be opportunities that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will send him things to be able to work on himself. And then he'll build up that heart. And he'll end up in a matziv that he knows he fulfilled his tafkid. And as he fulfilled his tafkid, he has a simcha in that. You know, people ask, so really, if I do a chesed, that's going to bring the Beis HaMikdash that much closer. If I have a little bit less sinas chinam one time, that's going to make the difference. In Echa, the Navi is sitting and telling us over and over and over all the tzaras that are going on. Everything. Again and again. Hundreds of thousands of Yidden being slaughtered. So much tzar. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of everything, right in the middle, the Navi has a pasuk. And he says, but don't worry, it's all good. You know why? Chazdei Hashem ki laisomnu. There's still chesed of Hashem. Everything is with chesed. Everything is with chesed. The midah of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is chesed. What he's doing for us is good. Everything that he's doing is good. We have to recognize that. We have to see that. It's all there. And the Navi is giving us hope. Mahu rachum, afato rachum. He's giving us a pathway, teaching us how we should go about it. And he's telling us, focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You'll get through it all. I knew a fellow who was in the war. And he was with a small group of men. They went through various camps, and they ended up in, for a long tkufa, in one work camp. And the suffering that they went through, obviously, was unbelievable. And he told us that any and every day when the suffering got bad, when they were starving, when it was freezing, when they thought they were going to collapse, when they thought they were going to get shot, whatever it was, this small group began singing. And what did they sing? So most people are sitting here thinking they sang Animamin. They sang something sad. And he told me we sang in the camps, Chazdei Hashem ki loy somnu ki loy cholu rachamov. And every single member of that group made it out alive b'nes. Because they connected to the Chazdei Hashem ki loy somnu. We have a chance to make it through, to become who we are supposed to become, Anoshim Shleimim in Klal Yisrael. And every single Yid, no matter who he is, no matter where he is, has opportunities to grow. Small steps, step after step, that will help bring that Beis HaMikdash closer. We have to focus on the hearts. We have to focus on recognizing that our heart is directly connected to the Beis HaMikdash Lamala. And if we want to strengthen that Kodesh HaKadoshim, we have to strengthen our hearts. We have to not put into them things that are Chas V'Chalila, things just don't belong there. And we have to adrab put in things that do belong. We have to think about the other person. We have to think about chesed. We have to understand the opposite of sinas chinam, ahavach chinam, loving someone else just because they're a yid, doing something for them just because they're a yid, figuring out what they need and giving it, and therefore emulating a Kodesh Baruch Hu of alachta bidrachov. And when we're going to do that, we're going to empower a Kodesh Baruch Hu to help bring that Beis Hamikdash quicker. And then Be'ezus Hashem, we'll be part of that simcha, because we were misabel karoy, because we recognized what it is we don't have. We don't have that shlemus. We don't have that fulfillment. We don't have that simcha. Kol misabel, if we'll takabi misabel, we'll be zoyche v'rei b'simchasai. We're only starting out now at the beginning of the 9 days. This is not about Tisha B'Av. This is about turning Tisha B'Av into a Yom Tov this year. We have 9 days to make it happen. Every single person in his own way can do something small for a few days. Something that can help bring that Beis HaMikdash a little closer. Feel a little bit more that loss. And Be'ez Hashem, who knows, maybe this year we'll talk of Bizaykh Varaya Bisim Khasim.